Penguin Random House Audio presents The Traitor by Ava Glass. Read for you by Sophie Cahoon.
Courage is a capital sum, reduced by expenditure. Ian Fleming, Dr. No. Part 1. London. He was exhausted. He wanted to keep working, but the numbers had begun to swim across the lighted screen, refusing to line up in neat military rows so he could find the pattern he knew must be hidden among them somewhere. It was just that he was so close. If he could only stay awake, he was certain he'd find what he needed. But it was after 2 in the morning, and when he closed his eyes and rubbed his knuckles against his forehead, he still saw the numbers burned on his retinas. He would sleep for a few hours and then start again. His hands went through the nightly rituals, turning off the laptop, flipping it over to remove the battery, unplugging the Wi-Fi box and router, wrapping each cable neatly behind every device. It seemed pointless. To be hacked, you had to be discovered, and being discovered would mean... He stood abruptly, pushing the chair back so hard it squawked a protest against the wooden floor, and walked away from the things that frightened him. When he crossed the living room, he didn't have to make a single turn. The apartment held almost no furniture. A sofa, a bed, a chair. That was all he needed. More would be superfluous. He checked the 3 locks on the front door and punched the 8-digit code into the alarm. Then he flipped the light switch and the room plunged into darkness. Instantly, he wanted to turn the lights back on again. It took effort to stay in the dark. The work was making him paranoid. Everywhere he went, he saw shadows following him. All day long, he'd felt watched. Now the sensation that he was not alone was almost overwhelming. As he walked the straight line to the bedroom, he reminded himself that nobody could possibly know who he was or where he lived. He'd been careful. By the time he climbed into bed, he almost believed it. When he closed his eyes, he saw the numbers again, floating behind his eyelids like tropical fish. He had to finish his work before it finished him. Tomorrow. It ends tomorrow. He murmured the word aloud, like a promise. He could not have been asleep long when a sound shook him awake, and he sat up with a start. In the pitch black, he strained his ears, but all he could hear was his own panicked breathing, quick and harsh. He thought perhaps he'd dreamed the sound, but then it came again, a soft breath, like a sigh. The lights came on, blinding him. He flung up a hand to shield his eyes. There were 2 of them. One stood by the door next to a large black suitcase. The other leaned over the bed, grinning. That was when he knew he'd been wrong about everything. They did know who he was, and what he'd been doing. And they had come to make him stop. Chapter 1. Target approaching. From her position inside the imposing marble-clad bank lobby, Emma Makepeace cast a glance through the bulletproof glass of the front window to the traffic beyond. The tiny electronic receiver tucked inside her right ear had been crackling with updates for the last 15 minutes, as a young man made his way through the streets of London, unaware that his every movement was being observed. She pretended to peruse a page on the computer screen in front of her as a gleaming scarlet Bugatti prowled into view, stopping abruptly on the double yellow line in front of the private bank. As the bus behind it, its own red shading drab by comparison to the ruby glow of the sports car, adjusted to this unexpected obstruction, the car door swung open and a tall young man with a shock of dark hair jumped out, a leather duffel bag in his hand. Sergei Gorodin was 22, smooth-faced and dressed entirely in Gucci. He didn't glance at the bus as he strode from the car towards the bank with all the confidence of a billionaire's son. The liveried doorman hurried forward to welcome him. "Little Bear is on site," Emma murmured, Angling her chin down towards the microphone built into the lapel of her dark blazer as Gorodin stepped inside. She kept her eyes on the door as a thin man in a navy blue bespoke suit approached her and asked quietly, "Is there anything I can help you with, Miss Davies?" Craig Rees was one of the bank's investment managers. Everyone who worked with him described him as unfailingly polite, with a natural ability for turning money into more money. He was incredibly popular with the bank's many Russian clients. What none of them knew, of course, was that he also worked for MI5. Rees had brought Emma in today to gather evidence against Sergei Gorodin and his father, a property investor whose wealth had proved very hard to trace. The other bank workers believed she was a consultant specializing in international currency exchange, helping Rees with a complex transaction. "I'm almost finished," she said, her quick nod indicating she had already spotted Gorodin. "Excellent." Rees stepped back. "If you need anything." Emma kept her focus on the young Russian man, who walked straight past her desk without a sideways glance, heading straight to a glass-walled office at the back. "I just need to look one thing up." She stood and gave Rees an easy smile. 2 seconds. Her heels clicked against the marble floor as she hurried after Gorodin, who opened the office door without knocking. Inside, the bank manager stood to greet him. Emma watched as the two shook hands, and then the bank manager reached over to close the slatted blinds, screening the glass room from outside view. Casually, Emma paused at the row of filing cabinets next to the office, opened a drawer, and pulled out a file. The blinds didn't quite meet the edge of the wall, and from this angle she had a clear view as the manager opened a safe behind his desk and began pulling out thick stacks of cash, setting them on the desk. Taking a pen from her pocket, Emma pointed the tip at the window and clicked the tiny button on the side. "Cash is changing hands," she whispered. "Copy that, pursuit is in place," said Adam's voice in her earpiece. In the glass office, the bank manager handed Gorodin a sheet of paper, which he signed with a careless scrawl. Then he gathered the thick stacks of money and shoved them into the bag. Emma clicked the pen again. Gorodin didn't stick around for long goodbyes. As soon as the money was in place, he snapped the bag shut and swung towards the door. Hastily, Emma closed the filing cabinet and headed back towards her desk. "Get ready," she warned the microphone on her lapel. "Little Bear is on the move." Rees stood up as she approached, a question in his eyes. Emma inclined her head in response. "I'm all done here," she said, angling her body so she could see Gorodin crossing the lobby with long strides. "Of course. Thanks for your help on this project," Rees replied smoothly as the Russian passed his desk. Emma smiled. "It's been a pleasure. I'll be in touch." She followed Gorodin past the doorman and out onto the strand. After the heavy quiet of the bank, the noise and bustle of the street was jarring. The squeak of brakes, the shrill complaint of horns, the rattle of trains from nearby Charing Cross Station, all seemed louder now. Gorodin appeared not to notice any of it as he headed straight for the red sports car and tossed the leather duffel casually onto the passenger seat. Emma had to admire the way he treated £500,000 in cash like a bag full of gym clothes. The Bugatti started with a throaty, predatory roar and shot out into traffic. "Target is on the move," she said. "I have eyes on," Adam said in her earpiece. A black BMW rolled by, and Emma caught a glimpse of Adam's low forehead and wiry dark hair before both cars melted into the blur of city traffic and disappeared. He would tail Gorodin across the city, although they already knew where he was heading. For the last 3 weeks, he'd come to the bank every Wednesday with an empty bag and walked out with it looking much heavier, before driving straight to his father's office. Now they had proof of what was in the bag. The next step would be finding out where that money ended up. Emma's phone rang, interrupting her thoughts. The number on the screen was the agency's emergency line. She answered quickly. "Make peace?" "I have a message from R. Are you in a safe place?" It was a woman's voice, as emotionless as a machine. Frowning, Emma stepped out of the flow of pedestrians. Yes, continue.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?